On News Talk 1290 CJBK, London's premier forum for news, views, and up-to-date information. Here's Andy Udman.
Like, we cannot put our kids into university and then have them graduate with university degrees and then say that the only job you can expect is a job in McDonald's or a job paying $17 an hour.
Solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong.
The capitalist system that's in existence right now is not working for us. It's not working for people anymore. And it's working very, very well for those folks that you're talking about who are saying, we can't afford this anymore. We need to cut your wages. We need to cut your benefits. We need to maximize our profits.
Well, to be perfectly honest, it's been a tough time for both organized and unorganized labor. Certain levels of government have really put an attack on everything, all the gains that's been made in our workplaces, unions specifically.
Big labor picnic today, folks, in cities all across the country. Here in London, they'll have the picnic at Thames Park, as they always do. Roughly 2,500 people from noon until 4. Lots of ketchup, lots of mustard, lots of relish, and lots of memories about how things used to be. Almost feels like a funeral, doesn't it? I'm not saying that's a good thing. I wish that every one of us could live like my friend across the street from me for the last 20 years. When we moved in just over 20 years ago, he had just retired as a Mountie. I think he was 52 or 53. And he's been living on a lovely pension ever since. And has had a very good life. The kind of life the rest of us can only dream of. Most Canadians, of course, don't have a pension of any kind and have to rely on CPP and old age security. Is there a future for unions? Here's a more provocative and difficult question. I don't mean to be provocative, but it's a very real question. If unions had smelled the napalm earlier, had realized that we are moving very, very quickly to a new world economy where the jobs can be transferred pretty much anywhere, would we still have the Navistar plant in Chatham? I think we would. We would still have the Navistar plant in Chatham and over 2,000 jobs. They're just tearing the factory down now. Would we still have the Freightliner plant in St. Thomas? I think we might. Would we still have the Caterpillar plant in London? What if they were to say, okay, folks, we're going to reopen the Caterpillar plant, depending on how much interest we have, in $15 an hour to $20 an hour jobs? Do you think there'd be a lineup? Oh, yeah, from here to Port Stanley. So my question to you is, on this Labor Day 2013, has organized labor been the death of a way of life we have treasured? They're celebrating today their victories. But should they be admitting that maybe they're the reason we don't have the Navistar plant in Chatham, the Freightliner plant in St. Thomas, the Caterpillar plant in London, and other industries? No, the salaries would not be the same. I'm asking you this morning for your thoughts on Labor Day 2013. 643-1290, the lines are open. Love to hear from you. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290, CJBK.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
Solidarity forever.
capitalist system that's in existence right now is not working for us. It's not working for people anymore. And it's working very, very well for those folks that you're talking about who are saying, we can't afford this anymore. We need to cut your wages. We need to cut your benefits. We need to maximize our profits.
Wow, what a statement from Sid Ryan this morning, president of the OFL, in conversation with Steve Garrison, saying the capitalist system isn't working anymore for working people. Every single line is lit up this morning. This is a hot topic. What is the future of labor, organized labor, in our society? We've got Kevin, we've got Mike, we've got Curry, and we've got Mark. Let's start with Kevin. Kevin, welcome to the show this morning.
Well, and thank you for taking my call. I was in my car heading to work, and I turned around and came back. My spin on this is quite simple. Enjoy what you have, because you may not have it forever, and you will wish you had it back once it's gone. And what I mean is that the unions managed to convince people that somehow they had some share in the company's profit. And so, well, look at all the money they're making, so that translates into we'll strike because we want a piece of the pie. And the fact is, they had a wage. The wage is their remuneration for their job. It doesn't matter if the company's making billions, you don't get any more than what the company can afford to pay you. Payroll, in my case, I own a business, I'm on my way to work, payroll is a number. You can have 100 employees, or you can have 10, or in my case, I had 15 5 years ago, I've got 3 now. And that was because of Dalton McGuinty. Raising the price of labor hurts all of us. I've worked the last 3 days, 12-hour days, and my place is closed because I have to do the renovating myself. And so I think people have been fed a line of goods by unions for years. And now, unfortunately, the die is cast, the wheels are in motion, cliche. And the fact is that ultimately it's going to come all apart, because now companies are facing huge hydro bills and insurance bills and so on. And unfortunately, one of the few places we can cut is labor.
So you had 15 employees and now you have 3.
That is correct.
And you would say demands by labor and Dalton McGuinty's policies are responsible?
Absolutely, 100%. Not only that, people don't understand that when you raise the person's portion for, say, the wage, the government knows full well that means we have to send in more Canada Pension Plan, we have to send in more UIC and CPP and workmen's compensation. It's all driven by the payroll. The government got a bigger chunk because they raised the wages. It wasn't a race for the people.
Wow. There's talk in Ontario. Well, look at what happened in the U.S. in the last couple of weeks. You had workers at the fast food chains all demonstrating, asking for the minimum wage to be raised from the $7 an hour range to the $15 an hour range. What would be the effect of that, Kevin?
They may as well all go in and turn in their aprons, because 70% of those people will lose their jobs. I told Dalton McGuinty right to his face, there's only one payroll number. If it's $100,000, which is what my payroll is, I could afford 15 employees at $685. Now I have 3, and I'm glad that they're there. Some of them have been there for like 19 years. But at the end of the day, we can't hire students. They talk about there's a depravity in student minimum wage and students can't get jobs. That's not it. Are you going to take? People don't realize $1,025 is $20,000 a year. That's the cost to the employee or employer. Not only is $1,025 the labor cost, added all together, it's $1,310. That's my cost for an employee, regardless of whether they're 17 or 70.
So, and we so often forget that it's not just the wage of $1,025, but with the perks, the mercs, as they call them, the mandatory extra payments, it comes to about 30% more than that.
The government agencies hover over your head like vultures, waiting for the employees to get a bigger raise so they get a bigger piece of the pie. And one of the things people don't understand is even Canada Pension Plan, for example. Yes, it's true they should all have a pension plan, and if it needs to be mandatory, so fine. But if I have to send in $1,000 for my employees for their pension contributions, and it's deducted from their paycheck, I don't have a problem, but why do I got to match it? I got to send in more. And I tell you what, we're keeping the Canada Pension Plan afloat, we keep the Workmen's Compensation Board afloat, And that's also just an insurance company, by the way. And the Employment Insurance Agency, they're insurance companies. And we're keeping them afloat with the backs of the people on minimum wage.
Kevin, can I make you a deal?
Certainly.
I know you have so much more to say, but we have several callers waiting. Can I just work my way through those callers? If you have more to say, call us on the backside, okay?
Sorry for being so winded.
Oh, no, no. I really, really appreciate your call. You made some very, very good points. And especially not just opinions, but from your own personal experience. Mike, then Curry, then Mark. Mike, go ahead.
Thank you. One thing, if you were starting a business, why not turn around and get your so-called employees involved in the business? You give them a share. And at the end of the year, when you do your audit, they all gain from it, and they all know exactly what it's costing, and they also already know what the company makes.
Mike, let me ask you the question, very similar to what you're asking. Has capitalism stopped working for working people?
Well, capitalism is not going to work anyhow, because the big money boys, there is no end to their greed. Most of them, the millionaires and the billionaires, they got enough for 10 lifetimes for everybody that they're involved with or their families,
but
and they don't want to share.
We like to think of them as fat cats smoking cigars and driving Cadillacs and Lexus, but what about the average shareholder who says, okay, I want a bigger return, so I'm going to go with the company that gives me the bigger return?
Well, that's fine, but if your company and your people have a share, then they know exactly what's happening, and they know that the harder they work, the more money the company will make, the more money they'll share in.
Mike, good point. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Curry. Curry, good morning.
Good morning, Andy. I'd just like to say that I've been a union member, you know, the biggest part of my working years, but, you know, I enjoy capitalism. I think it's a wonderful thing. And for Sid Ryan to come out with just an idiotic statement like that, when I think that Ireland, where he came from, the financial position that Ireland is in right now, I'd like to see him go back and fix the thing that the situation there. You know, it's ridiculous. The Toronto School Board, can you imagine $140 for someone to install a pencil sharpener? This is the type of nonsense that some of these unions are pulling.
Yeah, that one is just such a screaming outrage. My favorite one, Curry, in terms of a union outrage, is when the workers who were processing the GST were switched to the HST. They got severance pay, even though they stayed at the same cubicle, did the same job. They were just doing slightly different work. The work they were working on, it was instead of the GST, it was the HST. They got severance pay. In whose world does that make any sense at all?
Absolutely none. You know, the unions have outgrown their usefulness, and, you know, it seems anymore like, not all of them, the one that I belong to wasn't like this, so we called it was more of a sweetheart union. But some of these unions, you know, they just settle one contract and immediately you could have 0% inflation, and they'd still be after another raise the next contract.
Before I let you go and go to Mark, let me ask you this question, Curry. Do you believe if unions had been more reasonable, we would still have, number one, the Navistar plant in Chatham, which they're now tearing down, the Freightliner plant in St. Thomas, and the Caterpillar plant here in London?
Absolutely. Those people would still be working.
Wow. That is a pretty sobering. Curry, great call. Have a great Labor Day.
Same to you. Bye now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's go to Mark. Mark, thanks for being so patient.
Thank you. I'd like to make two comments, and I'll take my comments off the air. I'd like to say the reason why there's high unemployment, one, because of free trade, number two, and it's corporate greed. And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I can't let you run, though, because that would be a drive-by call to simply say that free trade, that Brian Mulroney is responsible for the situation we're in. Can we really realistically, Mark, isolate ourselves from the rest of the world when companies like Caterpillar are saying, listen, you better be more reasonable or we're just going to move the plant? And the union says, you can't do that. I mean, we have a noble tradition here at the at the big GM diesel plant in London. You can't possibly do that. Well, they did it. Navistar, same story. You've got to be, they told the union, be more reasonable or we're going to close the plant. The union would not be more reasonable. They closed the plant. They're tearing it down now. So to simply say, oh, free trade is the reason for our problems, can we really isolate ourselves from what's happening in the rest of the world, Mark?
Well, part of the problem is that we are being controlled by the U.S. They say, we want this. If we don't get this, we'll take this. This is how it seems like. It's about corporate greed. Because they figure if we can send our jobs somewhere else and pay a lower wage and make profit, they're going to do it. And that's how it that's what it boils down to, it seems.
Remember the quote, greed is good.
Yeah.
Good. Mark, I appreciate the call. I understand that we have the president of London Labor Council, Patty Dalton. I'm delighted that she has called in. Good morning, Patty.
Hi, how are you?
Happy Labor Day to you.
Oh, happy Labor Day to you, too. And as you know, we're going to have a huge Labor Day picnic today in celebration of unions and the contributions that unions make to communities.
Okay, Patty, I'm delighted you've called. Tell me exactly what you're celebrating. Give me the list.
Oh, what we're celebrating, well, we're celebrating, as I said, what unions contribute to communities. We've made lots of gains for people, from decent wages and a standard of living to workplace rights, anti-harassment laws, pensions, and the list goes on. We were in the forefront of the last raise to the minimum wage. We're currently involved in another campaign to raise the minimum wage because, as you know, a lot of people are struggling right now. And we have also had an ongoing campaign to double the CPP and to ensure that seniors can live with dignity.
Patty, I have pretty strong feelings about unions, and I have strong misgivings. But let's look at what we have in common. I look at my friend across the street, the Mountie, who retired 20 years ago and has been, you know, now living on a pension for probably 25 years. Are those not the glory days that are now past? I mean, let's face it, the Ontario economy is collapsing. We have an annual deficit of $12 billion. We have, by the end of this year, we'll have an Ontario debt of $272 billion. Are you saying we should just carry on as we did in the past? Isn't that terribly naive?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that it's not unions that are responsible for this economic disaster. It's the neoliberal economic policies, pro-corporate policies of provincial and federal governments. They have slashed corporate taxes, and so we have lost collectively billions of dollars of revenue. So let's put the responsibility directly where it belongs. And certainly unions have been fighting those very neoliberal policies. And as you know now, we're in an era of global austerity, and unions are fighting that. I was privileged to be at the exciting Unifor convention in Toronto for the past couple of days. And I would like to say that I think the labor movement in Canada has turned a page in our history. We're in a new era now. Unifor has more collective power than we've ever seen in one union in Canada. And I think we're going to see some very exciting results from that and some progress. I think we are going to turn the economy around. And speaking of the economy, I'd like to note that according to Canadian Labour Congress statistics, union workers in London earn approximately $6 more per hour, and that doesn't even take into consideration things like benefits and pensions, as you've mentioned. But we also contribute weekly approximately $16 million back to the local economy. So,
and that, Patty, is all wonderful. We're on the same page. I applaud you for all of that. But, Patty, look west. You can see the smoke rising from the city of Detroit. $19 billion in debt. They've just gone over the cliff. Half of that is pensions to their workers, which successive governments in Detroit kept giving to the unions. And look at where it led them, right over the cliff, right into the sewer, right into where Greece is.
Well, again, I really disagree with your analysis in terms of it being unions' responsibility. And I'll just go back to my point about neoliberal economic policies, which are disastrous. If the American government, state and federal, had followed a different path and certainly listened to unions more, then they wouldn't be in the disastrous state that they're in right now. I really don't understand how you can argue that a failing economy is the fault of unions. That's not a valid argument, in my view.
There are those who argue, I am one of them, that if unions had been more reasonable in southwestern Ontario, we would still have...
No. Unions have to fight fiercely for workplace rights, and we fight as well for social justice.
Even if Caterpillar tells you to go pound salt, Patty.
We set the standard and we raise the bar for all workers.
Yeah, you raise the bar so high that Caterpillar said, you go pound salt, we're taking our plant elsewhere. Navistar and Chatham, go pound salt, we're going...
Yeah, well, that they wouldn't have been able to do that if there had been proper protections in place in Ontario and in Canada. And again, we can put that at the feet of the ilk of the Harper government and our current provincial government.
Well, Patty, let's end this on a positive note. You're going to have a picnic. You're going to celebrate today.
We are. We're having a celebration of unions and the considerable contributions that unions make to the community. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Patty, you can call the show anytime. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Patty Dalton, President of the London Labor Council. Girish has been very patiently waiting. Thank you, Girish.
Thank you. I submit to you that is the unions are very, very badly needed. We must restore their strength if our young people are going to get any decent wages to live on. They are today being exploited by Kmarts and Walmarts and all these marts who constantly threaten them with lower wages, no benefits, and not living wages. The reason why these people in the U.S., the fast food workers, had to go on strike, because they are serving poison to their customers, but they haven't paid enough to get their money. Let me ask you this question, and please ponder over this. The 50 years ago, the ratio of a worker's pay to that of a CEO was, I believe, 10 times, 15 times. Today it is 150 times. How can this capitalist system justify this kind of nonsense and this kind of taking away from the poor and handing it to those who already have much more than enough?
Girish, let me ask you to comment on Sid Ryan's comment this morning that capitalism isn't working for working people anymore. I don't know what he's suggesting. Communism? What are you suggesting?
What I'm suggesting is that capitalism has been replaced and replaced to a very large degree by greedyism, and it is greedyism that has crept into capitalism, must be controlled and must be got rid of.
Okay, so what system do you suggest we go to if capitalism isn't working for working people anymore on this Labor Day 2013?
Well, I think in a benevolent kind of way, I would suggest we need government controls over the pay a CEO can get. He gets no more than five times his worker is paid. If his pay goes up and he gets stock options and all kind of this nonsense which robs the shareholders and hands it over to the CEO, there must be control over this, because we can't let this greediness go rampant in our society.
Girish, I appreciate your call. Very well stated. Let's go to Alan. Alan, thanks for waiting.
Hey, Andy, how are you?
Good.
I got a number of things. First of all, Detroit did not go bankrupt because workers got pensions. Detroit went bankrupt because workers got pensions, and the city didn't fund it the way they promised they would fund it. That's why they went bankrupt, and that's the problem with a lot of the states. you know, and free trade is a major problem, a major part of the problem. China, for example, if you want to sell cars in China, you've got to make them in China. There should be tariffs. Free trade is a bad thing. If companies move out of town to go make things cheaper elsewhere and then sell it back to you, there ought to be tariffs. And, you know, your first caller said he didn't even want to pay $6.50 an hour, let alone the minimum wage as it is now. Blame the McGuinty government on that. And that's the reason you need unions, because there are people like that who would pay less if there wasn't a minimum wage.
Alan, when I listened to Sid Ryan this morning, so much of what he said I agreed with. We don't want a race to the bottom. We don't want class of 2013 graduating from university making less than their parents did. We don't want them to go on welfare. We want them to have a wage which allows them to buy homes and stimulate the economy. But the fact is, we're going the other way. Plants are leaving Ontario, like Navistar, like Freightliner, like Caterpillar. The question is, what is the solution, Alan?
Well, it wouldn't be so bad bringing them back here if everybody wants to live in grass huts and go back to the barter system.
But what is the solution?
That's what these companies want. It's never enough profit. It's always more, more, more.
So what is the solution? That's what I'm asking.
Well, I don't know what the solution is. I think if either one of us knew what the solution was, we wouldn't be talking to each other right now, would we?
Well, Bob Metz is going to join us in just a moment. I'm sure he has a solution. Walter, go ahead.
Hi, Andy. This is bottom line. NAFTA, Auto Pack has left us. That's why we have no manufacturing. And it's a real crying shame, Andy, that you're so against unions. Unions have done so much for people in our country. And that first guy that came on the line who had 15 employees, what's he doing, a bankruptcy thing like General Motors did? Do you know the profiteering that General Motors is doing in the third world country right now? And what is it giving back? It's giving back nothing to Canada. They went bankrupt. And what did they do? Because they could. Everybody else was doing it. And the Caterpillar thing, Andy, you know yourself. How do those guys take 50% off their wages? Why would anybody want to do that? I understand. Our bottom line, our dollar increased. I worked in the auto industry. I worked when our dollar was 70 cents to the American dollar. The cost advantage the Americans had at that time, they had to pay for their health care, plus they didn't pay for our health care. The profiteering that's been done by corporations is disgusting. And capitalism is not working for the working man. We need people in government. Why are we proroguing now? What is Mr. Harper doing? You didn't like when McGuinty prorogued. Why did they need another month's holiday? Anyways, Andy, that's all I've got to say. Leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Walter, very kind of you to call. We'll get to Bob Metz in just a moment. Tony, your call. Thank you so much.
Andy, I hear today is what Vladimir Lenin was saying 100 years ago in Moscow, and he was a union man. And what did they do for the people of Russia and the Soviet Union? They turned them into the poorest, most miserable human beings history has ever seen. And that's what unions do, because unions are not the workers, they're the gang of thugs who run them, like Sid Ryan. They hate people, and they hate this society, and they get to talk, as Tony Soprano would say if we could let him have a microphone. These are gangsters who are running unions for their own political motives, and they're planning to heist Canada, steal Canada right out from under us.
Tony, great call. We have to take a short break. Back with Bob Metz when we come back in just a moment, right here on Labor Day 2013 on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
You're listening to London Today with Andy Udman. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email londontoday@cjbk.com or call 519-643-1290.
The capitalist system that's in existence right now is not working for us. It's not working for people anymore. And it's working very, very well for those folks that you're talking about who are saying, we can't afford this anymore. We need to cut your wages. We need to cut your benefits. We need to maximize our profits.
Capitalism isn't working for working people anymore. Interesting statement from Sid Ryan, the president of the Ontario Federation of Labor. Back to the phones we go. Bob Metz has been waiting patiently. Hi, Bob, and happy Labor Day.
Same to you, Andy. And with that statement, Sid Ryan won the debate. The capitalist system that's in place right now, what capitalist system is that? I don't see one. I see a system of pure greed called socialism, a system of plunder, which has been defined as such for hundreds of years, a system of Marxism, of complete destruction of the economy, of complete control by government. That's not capitalism. That's the exact opposite of capitalism. And everybody here is talking, our capitalist system isn't working anymore. What capitalist system? Hello? Jeez. With that one word, he wins the debate. And that's why a woman named Ayn Rand, who came from a country called the Soviet Union, wrote a book called Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal, and it is the most hated book in the world. Honestly. I've learned that over 30 years. And the labor movement itself is not responsible for our disaster. That's the responsibility of the plunder parties, which is all three of them. The labor movement, however, is profoundly anti-labor. They're anti-competition. That's why they want unity calls. We all work together. We all got to work at the same price. Well, that's not capitalism. Race to the bottom, not in wages, but in prices. That's how capitalism works. You earn more as you offer a better deal at a lower price for the market, and it has always worked. It's the only system that does work. There are no other systems, and capitalism's not a system even. It's a condition when people are allowed to trade voluntarily and under a system of consent. There is no consent. We are being raped constantly, daily, by our governments, and that's the source of the problem right there, Andy.
So what's the solution, Bob?
Let's try capitalism. And minimum wages alone, there should be no such thing as minimum wages. Not legislated by government, legislated by you for you, by me for me. That's an absurdity. It's so immoral, I can't believe that we even accept this. I was brought up with, I don't even consider myself a Christian in the sense, but my goodness, I believe in thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, and thou shalt not covet the... I mean, is this the Christian ethic that this country's built on? Unions represent the exact opposite of that. I've debated Sid Ryan, and he is a thug. He has no regard. Look at what they did in Detroit. They don't care how bad things are. They're always going to blame it on somebody else and on profit. Profit. Profit is not about taking a lot of money. Profit is about making more than you, making more than you spend. You can make profit by not making any more money at all, but just spending less and you've made more profit. And then there's some guy out there who thinks he's entitled to your effort of restraint.
What is your message to the people who are gathering, the 2,500 of them at Thames Park this afternoon to eat wieners and hot dogs to celebrate the victories of labor?
Well, if that's a celebration, I heard Patty Dalton this morning. Apparently they're planning, Unifor's planning collective power and protest. Oh, isn't that nice? And everything she said, Andy, was poisonous. Poisonous. She's talking about, we supported the minimum wage going up. You know, when the liberals put that in, by the way, and she says she's opposed to the liberal policy, they told us in advance, and I was on your radio show, still got the recordings, that we're going to lose 20,000 plus jobs, and we did. So their policy worked. But that's not a capitalist policy. It's got nothing to do with capitalism. A capitalist system wouldn't have a legislated minimum wage. I know that freaks people out, but look at countries like, even socialist countries like West Germany. They don't have minimum wages legislated. It's a whole different system, and you have to let people work for what they're willing to work for. As soon as you raise, if minimum wages are so good, why don't we just raise them all to $100 an hour? We can all live like kings.
Bob, you would enjoy the cartoon in the Toronto Star this morning. It shows a Labor Day parade, and Mom and Dad and the kids and the dog alongside. And the banner reads, we represent workers under 30, and then part-time, temporary, contracted, no benefits, minimum wage, Labor Day parade.
Right. That's exactly it. And, there you go. They're profoundly anti-labor movement. They're anti-competition, you see. And in that sense, they're no different than a lot of the business groups that they condemn. business gets on the side of government, too. They want government to give them special treatment, too. But you can understand why each group is doing that.
Bob,
because the government.
You look to the west and you can see the smoke coming across the border from Detroit, which has slid into the sewer. Half of the $19 billion that they owe is for pensions. What's the message from Detroit we should be paying attention to?
Well, pensions are an individual responsibility. You know, the issue of government welfare is completely separate from the major programs that are bankrupting us. You can still have a very secure government welfare system for people in true need. But all the systems, the things that are killing us are what we call universal programs, where everybody gets them regardless of need. And that bankrupts it for everybody, and it's just morally wrong at the root. We have to get back to a system of capitalism. If you don't know what capitalism is, the book Capitalism, The Unknown Ideal by Ayn Rand is nothing more than a definition. It's also nonfiction. It's not a fiction.
Bob, I've got one more question for you. Have you been invited to give this speech at the Labor Day picnic this afternoon?
They won't go near me.
Bob, wouldn't that be classic if they said, no, we believe in free speech. Bob Metz is going to be speaking.
No, they don't believe in free speech.
Right after Patty Dalton and right after Mike Patterson, the treasurer, Bob Metz, a special guest, speaking at today's Labor Day picnic.
Well, I'd have a message for what I would call labor and workers.
Okay, you got 90 seconds.
Well, I would say learn what capitalism is. Get in on the capitalist system. Understand that you're in on the greatest thing mankind has invented in its history. Capitalism didn't exist till even a remnant of it until the last couple hundred years. Look what's happened. We have things like. Look at you and me talking on this weird instrument that some guy, Alexander Graham Bell, invented, which would not have been allowed had he not had the freedom to protect his ideas, his investment, his knowledge. And that's why socialist countries and non-capitalist countries never innovate. They cannot create the new, and that's what's happened to us in North America. We've become so regulated that people aren't even allowed to think anymore when it comes right down to it.
Bob, I got a shocker for you. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have Mike Parkinson on the line. He is the treasurer of the London Labor Council.
Great.
He wants to talk.
How are you, Andy?
Hi, Mike. Go ahead and talk to Bob.
Not bad, buddy. How are you?
Hi there.
Mr. Metz, you're more than welcome to come down and voice your opinion of the labor movement at our Labor Day picnic. It is open to anybody and everybody, whether you're unionized, not unionized, pro-union, or anti-union. You're more than welcome.
Well, that's great to hear. So I guess,
Andy, so are you.
Sorry?
Andy is as well.
Okay, so Bob, how do you respond to that invitation?
Well, I can't take him up on it today, but I wasn't the one. I would be willing to say something to him, just like I was starting there.
Okay, Bob, 1 minute.
And I just said it, though.
Okay, 1 minute, and then we'll get Mike to respond. Go ahead.
Well, basically, I think the message is that you've got to accept the competitive world that you're in. Just looking at it from a labor point of view, you've got to realize that there are other people out there who are called workers who are not in a labor union and who do not appreciate being called scabs and things like that when they are willing to accept a job that a union person's not willing to accept, even if it's only a dollar or two less. I mean, isn't that just fair play? Aren't unions in favor of just basic, that kind of fair, basic competition, even if it's all above minimum wages? Let's put that off the table for a minute. What's the problem with that?
Mike, go ahead.
Well, Bob, here's the thing. When you're talking about scabs, you're talking about people that are coming in to do the work that union workers do want to do, because you said yourself they're unionized jobs. The union and labor movement is involved in helping everybody, whether you're organized or you're not organized. We want to help them up, not down. The biggest saying that's being used now is right to work. Well, I'm sorry, but it's actually a right to work for less.
That's right. That's exactly
that's
right. I have a right to work for less?
I would absolutely agree that we should share alike, but that only works when the corporate heads and the stockholders are willing to share, and they're not. It's very clear that the work or the companies who say, oh yes, we're willing to help out and everything else, but they're pocketing, they're not reinvesting, which is Caterpillar, which is Ford, They're not willing to reinvest in the community. They're just looking to go where the cheapest rates are for people who are willing to work for third world wages, and we're not a third world country.
Well, then fine, then don't work at all. Why do you have a right to take their, share and share alike? That's not what I thought unions were about. You guys are always talking about collective bargaining and contracts.
And
now you're talking about what? Karl Marx share?
Collective bargaining is a very small part of what the union and the labor movement does. A union represents members who, for whatever reason, are being brought to the table to, if somebody has made a complaint about them, justified or not, the union is there to represent them. If you're in a union and, let's say, for example, you have a person who is being accused of something, you have the grievance process, and if not, if you can't settle it there, then you go to arbitration.
Well, now you're talking about...
Sir, just a minute. Arbitrations cost $15,000 per side. I'm sorry, but if I was in trouble, I really appreciate the fact that my union is willing, all my fellow workers are willing to pay to make sure that I'm properly represented for not only me, but for the next person that's being taken to account for something that they're not the cause of.
Gentlemen, I want to make you a deal. Bob, are you available for a few moments after 11? And Mike, would you be available to
sure.
have... the Okay.
I certainly can.
Okay, and Bob?
Yes.
Okay, terrific. Then why don't you call back right after the news? We'd love to continue this debate. We appreciate it so much. We're going to give the last word this hour to Gord Mood. Gord, go ahead.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Good. I was enjoying that, but I kind of got lost.
Well, we're almost out of time, so what I've said is I've invited both of those gentlemen to join us right after 11, and we'll continue that discussion.
Yeah, for sure. All I would like to say is on the issue of capitalism, as far as I understand, it's just a political framework for freedom. And anybody who opposes capitalism is obviously opposed to freedom.
Okay, Gord, I appreciate the call. Okay, we're coming up to the 11 o'clock news. We just started, and I'm delighted that we have the opportunity to continue that discussion. Mike Patterson, the treasurer of the London Labor Council, along with Bob Metz, provocateur extraordinaire. He does make you think, and he, of course, has supported the Freedom Party, and he thinks the unions are a key part of the problem, as are governments, and that we don't have true capitalism. We'll be back to continue that discussion on this Labor Day 2013 right after we bring you up to date on what's happening in the news world right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Now, London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK, London's premier forum for news, views, and up-to-date information. Here's Andy Udman.
The capitalist system that's in existence right now is not working for us. It's not working for people anymore. And it's working very, very well for those folks that you're talking about who are saying, we can't afford this anymore. We need to cut your wages. We need to cut your benefits. We need to maximize our profits.
A capitalist system wouldn't have a legislated minimum wage. I know that freaks people out, but look at countries like, even socialist countries like West Germany. They don't have minimum wages legislated. It's a whole different system. And you have to let people work for what they're willing to work for. As soon as you raise, if minimum wages are so good, why don't we just raise them all to $100 an hour? We can all live like kings.
10 minutes after 11 o'clock, you're listening to London Today on Labor Day, Labor Day 2013. I'm asking the question this morning, are labor unions still relevant? Are they the solution or are they the problem? We're having a lively debate, which we just began, involving two particular parties. Bob Metz, who is a regular caller to this station, has some very, very provocative views, which get us thinking, and Mike Parkinson, who responded graciously, I thought, by inviting Bob Metz to the Labor Day picnic this afternoon. We're going to get back to those two gentlemen in just a moment, but I want first to set this up with a little song, and it is, of course, Labor's theme song, and I want you to listen to the words. It runs about 2 minutes. I particularly like the banjo music, but that's a personal thing. Listen to the words and ask yourself how relevant they are today. Then we'll play a one-minute clip of Sid Ryan of the OFL talking about why capitalism isn't working for working people anymore. But first, the song, listen to the words.
desperation, through the workers' blood shall run. There can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong.
It is we who plowed the prairies, built the cities where they trade, dug the mines and built the workshops, endless miles of railroad laid. Now we stand outcast and starving mid the wonders we have made, but the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. For the union makes us strong.
They have taken untold millions that they never toiled to earn, but without our brain and muscle, not a single wheel can turn. We can break their haughty power, gain our freedom when we learn that the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever.
So the question is, where are we today? Labor Day 2013. Why have we lost Navistar in Chatham? Why have we lost Freightliner in St. Thomas? Why have we lost Caterpillar in London? Why is Detroit bankrupt? Why are half the cities in the United States on the verge of bankruptcy? Why are more and more cities in this capitalist North America laying off police officers, laying off firefighters? Is labor really celebrating this afternoon at the labor picnic at Thames Park? Just asking the question. Just before we get to Bob Metz and Mike Parkinson, let me play you that 1 minute clip of Sid Ryan this morning on why capitalism doesn't seem to be working for working people anymore.
Like, we cannot put our kids into university and then have them graduate with university degrees and then say that the only job you can expect is a job in McDonald's or a job paying $17 an hour. I mean, this is the first generation of kids coming out of colleges and universities that are actually going to earn less than what their parents did. I mean, this hasn't happened in history before. And that's the kind of stuff that we're fighting against today on the streets, where, yes, we may be marching in celebration of the worth of workers, but we're also marching to demonstrate and to highlight and say, this is wrong. We cannot continue to go down this road. We've got to be able to produce a better economy than the one that we've got. So clearly, the capitalist system that's in existence right now, it's not working for us. It's not working for people anymore. And it's working very, very well for those folks that you're talking about who are saying, we can't afford this anymore. We need to cut your wages. We need to cut your benefits. We need to maximize our profits for shareholders. And after a while, you say, wait, hold on. There's got to be a better way of generating wealth and sharing that wealth than what we're doing right now.
I think we all share the sentiment, I think, this morning that we want to reverse what seems to be happening, and that is a race to the bottom. The question is, how do we get there? In just a moment, we'll be joined by Bob Metz again and Mike Parkinson, but David wants to jump in with a quick comment. Go ahead, David.
Well, the comment is, Sid, is completely wrong that our young children have no hope with university degrees. My daughter attends Ottawa. She's in her third year. Last year, she had 8 A-pluses. And every department that she's been in is begging her to major in their area. Why? Because they want the best. She'll get a job, but she's not going to get a job right out of school. She's going to go to Canada's number one law school and become a lawyer. She will get to the top because she works hard. Hard work pays. It's the problem that she had roommates the past year that all party. And when you party all the time, even with a university degree, your expectations are higher than you're willing to work for.
So what is the point? What is the point you're making on this Labor Day 20?
What I'm making is that the problem that we've all come to in this drowning down of wages and drowning down is that no one wants to work hard anymore.
Andy, I'm on my way to go to work right now because we had a flood in the basement and I build houses. So I'm going to work because I need to, because I can't call a union and beg them to come and work for me. I must do it. Me and my partners, that's what we must do, is start to work harder. We have lost that edge in North America. We no longer want to work hard.
Wow. Interesting call, David. I appreciate it. It ties in with a release this morning entitled An Epidemic of Sick Leave Abuse in Public Service as Taxpayers Watchdog. Just ahead of Labor Day, a right-wing think tank has embroiled itself in a feud against Canada's largest public sector union. The Canadian Taxpayers Federation sent out a release urging the federal government to crack down on what they call an epidemic of sick days in the public service. Overall, federal government employees took 17.9 days of sick leave, according to the most recent Treasury Board survey. In comparison, the most recent report from StatsCan shows employees working outside of government took 6.7 sick days in 2012. Now, very patiently waiting this morning, and I very much look forward to this discussion, Bob Metz, and I'll just ask Bob to hold on. Mike Parkinson, the treasurer of the London Labor Council, was listening to the program in the last hour, joined us late in the hour, to actually invite Bob Metz to the Labor picnic this afternoon. Mike, I appreciate you being patient. Let's just set the scene. Labor picnic starts in about 40 minutes. What are you going to be doing at the picnic, Mike?
Well, what we do, Andy, is we have games for the kids. We have the laugh guards are here to do face painting and entertain the folks. We have 2,500 hot dogs we're giving out, cans of pop, ice cream, just an all-around day of fellowship.
Mike, for the kids who are there, what are you hoping, as young as they are, what are you hoping that they understand at this early age about the role of unions in our society?
Well, today is a day for the kids to have fun and enjoy themselves. What their parents decide to explain to them about the labor movement and organized labor, it is up to the parents. We're not here to indoctrinate little kids. We're not here to brainwash little kids. We're here to have a good time and celebrate the fact that organized labor and the labor movement have brought this day called Labor Day to us so we can take a day and celebrate.
Okay, what are you celebrating, Mike?
We're celebrating the fact that we are a free society. We are able to either join a union or not join a union. It's just the ability for us to have fellowship and enjoy each other's company, and that's what the day is all about.
Okay. Bob Metz, if Mike Parkinson, he's invited you to the picnic. If you had 2 minutes to stand up in front of this Labor Day picnic to share with them a perspective that they may or may not be open to, what would you share with them, Bob?
Andy? Look.
Yeah. Mike?
If I can, just for a second. Everybody at the picnic is listening to the show, so, Bob, you are talking to everybody at the picnic.
Bob, here's your platform. Go for it.
Well, I just think that you should consider yourself part of the larger labor force in the country, not just an isolated, monopolized piece of labor. And, you know, you can talk about all you want, but organized labor, what they mean by organized, is that they organize force, not labor. It's management that organizes labor. But what they're organizing is the use of force in the marketplace where they can alleviate consent. They're in favor, by the way, of forced dues, forced membership, forced negotiation, and a forced monopoly in the marketplace. I cannot see how when a union goes on strike for any reason, especially wages, since wages are not a legal issue and they're not below minimum wages, how they can argue that they have a right not only to withdraw their own labor from the employer, but to prohibit other people from competing with that employer for their labor. Is that not a complete violation of everything in our constitutional right to freedom of association? And I argue that it is. So, you know, the celebration of solidarity and all of that stuff makes us strong and muscle. I mean, Ayn Rand wrote about the mystics of muscle, but where's the proof? I don't see any proof of this great strength of unions. I see unions getting weaker and weaker, which I've been predicting for 30 years, but it happens on its own. And again, it's not the unions that are at fault. It's the legislation in our governments that allow them to get away with it. Everybody's greedy. I'm greedy. You're greedy. everybody's greedy. So we should have a set of rules that allow us to exercise our greed in such a manner that we are unable to harm one another. And the only way that that can be done is consensually. You cannot force someone to deal with someone who's greedy. And that's what our legislation does. Labor legislation does that. You have to have a free market. And free means free from government intervention in the economy. And as long as we have any government intervention in the economy, let's quit calling this system capitalism. Let's be honest and call it what it is. It is socialism. That's my message.
Mike, your response.
Well, I understand and respect Mr. Metz's viewpoint. That's absolutely fine for me, for him to believe that and say that. Now, when he's saying that freedom of association, well, I mean, that's what the definition of a union is an association of workers or an association of people. So I don't see where the issue is with freedom of association. Now, what you have to remember is the membership or a workplace, the unions don't always or very rarely do they ever not wait for solicitation from the workers in a job place, a workplace, to come in and help them. And the reason why they ask for help from unions is because they see that the legislation that is on the books right now doesn't properly protect them from being, I'm going to use the word just for a lack because I can't think of another one, the persecution of their manager or whatever on an issue, and they can't defend themselves on their own.
You know what you're talking about, Mike?
Usually are that get brought to a union to help them, please come in and organize it so you can help us.
Let me bounce that one up, Mike.
Mike.
Yeah.
We are one country. We all work together as a country. Well, if you take that down to a smaller section, we all work together as a province. Take that down even farther. We all work together as a city. Take it down farther. You will get eventually to we all work together in this workplace, and that's called the union. The people who work there ask for us. The people who work there vote in favor of us by majority. Yes, it's first past the post, just like it is in regular elections, you know. So if the majority wishes to have a union come in and represent them, then the union comes in and represents them. The union works within the labor laws that are there now.
Okay, hey, Mike, can I address your point, please?
To do that, I think Mr. Harper's trying to do his best and Mr. Hudak are trying to do their best to accomplish the destruction of the ability for unions to represent members. And by the way, we are not exclusionary. We help many workplaces that are not part of our union. We consult if they ask us to. We give them ideas when they require it or wish it.
Mike,
we don't just work for our own members. We work for the workforce and labor movement at large.
Mike, I'm going to bounce it back to Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, Mike's not addressing the issue. The issue is capitalism and the broader issue. I don't really care what union people make. I absolutely could care less because what you're talking about is union business. And what he's been talking about since before the break is, to me, legitimate union concerns. It is the job of a union to look after its members. I'm not here to argue that. I'm just saying, that's none of my business. I don't care who you arbitrate for. I don't care who you represent. I don't care how many dollars an hour you get paid. I really don't. What I care for as a consumer is what I pay in the price of whatever it is you make. If it's better than what the other guy makes, I'll buy it. I don't care whether you're in a union or not. That's not an issue. But the issue is that we have to get to the greater issue. The question is capitalism. What is causing the whole economy to go down? Unions, I'm not holding them responsible for that, and I'm not making that argument. I'm making the greater argument that governments have to get rid of the union monopoly so that everyone can benefit, including unionized people who are losing their jobs. You're on the front lines of the job losses, and the only thing that's keeping you out of unemployment right now is that the country's not quite bankrupt yet, but you don't seem to care about that, and that concerns me.
Okay, Mike, go ahead. Mike, are you there? Mike, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, Mike.
Hello,
Mike Parkinson, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't hear my phone. My phone battery died, so I just grabbed another phone. So I didn't hear the last few comments.
Well, it's unfortunate. Let me ask you both this question. First, Bob, and literally a yes or no. Bob, if unions had been more reasonable in their requests, do you believe we would still have the Navistar plant in Chatham operating?
If that was the one where the management was saying, yeah, if you're reasonable, we'll stay, then I would say yes.
The Freightliner plant in St. Thomas?
Don't know all the conditions. There could be other conditions at work there, including issues like Ontario Hydro. I really don't know all the conditions.
Okay.
But unions, as a rule, and certainly the big ones, are not helping things.
Okay, and the Caterpillar plant in London?
Oh, definitely, I think.
Okay.
That's one that said they'd stay.
Mike Parkinson, treasurer of the London Labour Council, do you believe if the union had been more reasonable, for lack of a better word, would the Navistar plant in Chatham still be there?
Well, let me just put it very succinctly. For all those questions, Andy, I believe that the union was reasonable on all three bases. How's that?
Even if all three plants shut down?
Well, you know what? When it comes to, for example, the EMD plant with Caterpillar, if they collapsed and said, oh, yeah, we'll take whatever you're willing to give us, it would have been a matter of they would have lasted a year maybe, and then they would have been gone anyway. So it was just a matter of, to me, as being an outsider, I was not involved in the CAW, now Unifor, negotiations. To me, from the outside looking in, it was, we want to slash everything, like your pensions, your wages, so that when they did leave, everything would be calculated on the lower rates.
Okay, let me ask you another question. First to Bob Metz. Bob, I want to ask you, the CAW at the Cami plant, you know, they've got a hot product. They're working 6 days a week. They can barely keep up to production. They're in negotiations right now with GM. Negotiations are not going well. GM is threatening them with moving all productions to the U.S. What is your message for the union there? And then I'll ask Mike Parkinson.
Well, again, I'm not privy to the inside information, but if you want to be competitive, you know, there's two ways to give yourself some job security, and this is something that unions hate to a T, and that's either lower wages or higher productivity, and that means on the individual basis, not on any collective basis. And my experience has been that unions are opposed to both. They certainly don't like lower wages, that's understandable, but when someone within their group is much more productive than the rest, they actually do everything they can to curtail them. I had that happen to me in the one time in my life I was ever in a union. And so they want to keep everybody equal. Everybody, you see, in a union, under a union, you get paid for the job. You don't get paid for the employee. And that's the problem. They've almost severed the employee-employer relationship.
Okay, I have to jump in because we're almost out of time. Mike, again, the Cami plant, should the union keep fighting, or are you concerned that we might see another Navistar, another Freightliner, another Caterpillar?
Well, because they're in negotiations right now, I'm not willing to comment on that. But however, what Bob was talking about the unions never willing to lower their wages and everything else, I'm sorry, but I've heard you many times talking with Tim Carey from CAW and now Unifor, when they talked about Accuride and a number of other plants willing to take pay cuts to keep the doors open. It was also that way for the Ford plant at Talbotville. So to say that unions aren't interested in working together with management is just flat out wrong.
Okay.
By the way, just for the record, I've never talked to Tim Carey ever.
I didn't say
him
you,
on my
Bob. I didn't say you. I didn't say you.
Oh, okay.
Bob. I meant Andy.
Okay. Okay. We're almost out of time. So, last word, Mike. 1 minute on why we so much need labor unions today.
Labor unions represent. For me, this is what I did when I was on my union executive. Labor unions represent members when dealing with management. Unions represent your membership when they are dealing with the collective bargaining process. Unions help represent the people who can't represent themselves in the community, being through donation, being through work, being through helping out with things like the food bank and the Unity Project and all that sort of thing. Unions work together. If you talk to the folks at United Way, they will tell you that they took a huge hit when EMD closed. They took a huge hit when Ford Talbotville closed. So to say unions don't help people who are not unionized is just flat out wrong. We're here to celebrate. We're here to have a great time. everybody listening, you're more than welcome to come down and celebrate with us. And whether your opinion is pro-union, anti-union, you're, everybody is welcome with their own opinions.
Bob, 1 minute.
Well, there again, you know, that kind of confirms what I've been saying, that unions are kind of like lobby groups who happen to do a bit of collective bargaining on the side. They're doing all of this community activity, which to me is not the function of a labor union. If I was a member of a union, I would want that union to do, first of all, I want it to be voluntary, and they'd have to demonstrate their value to me as a member. And if all those things they say are true, then there would be no necessity to force anybody to join. Everyone would be signing up voluntarily and going, wow, look at the benefits you get when you join this union. Unions should also follow their members, not lock themselves to one particular employer. I would like to know that if I was a union member of X union, and I'm not talking about under any labor monopoly, but as a free association, that when I went from one job to another, I could still remain a member of that union.
Well, very
that, to me, is what union membership is about on an individual level.
We are out of time. A very special thanks to Bob Metz. Bob,
well,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've provided for a lively debate. And Mike Parkinson, very gracious of you to not only join our debate, but to invite Bob Metz to the picnic. And he takes his hot dogs with all three, a mustard, relish, and ketchup. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Okay, in just a moment, we're going to go live to St. Jacobs, where they are in...